My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, Lord and righteousness. I dare not trust a sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace.
If the Lord will be with us this morning, I'd like to draw your attention to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy this morning in the 6th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to read verses 4 through 9 to you this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. For some time now, I have had an impression upon my mind, and I pray it be because the Lord has placed that impression there to speak upon our articles of faith at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. I know that I've made this prayer request before, but it's an earnest plea and a prayer that I ask of this morning, that as I try to speak upon these articles, because it is what is defined as a series type, a series of sermons, that you would pray that the Lord would bless my mind to not be tied up so much in the series, but to be instant in season and out of season to preach that is upon my heart, as opposed to that which is in our series order. But we've tried this before. We've preached a series and felt like we had decent liberty through the book of Esther, through the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, and also through the church's the seven churches of Asia in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And I feel that because we've all been in prayer together, that God has guided our minds and blessed us as we've tried to bring forth different messages in those portions of Scripture. And the same goes for the Articles of Faith of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. Our first article of faith reads that we believe in only one true and living God, and that there is a trinity of persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost, and yet not three gods, but one God. As we read that article of faith, and as we try to preach upon that subject this morning, let us keep in mind about why we even have articles of faith in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because we believe that any words that you and I come up with to term what we believe, that you and I believe that those words are divinely inspired by God and something that we are to follow above and beyond the Scriptures that we've got open to us before us this morning. That's not the reason why churches of ages past and churches in modern day have articles of faith. That's not the reason why we have them. I can't speak for other people as the reason why they have them. It's not because we will become followers of our articles and followers of our words over the followers over being followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's because that we have identified some beliefs of ours that differentiate us from other religious orders of this world. And going all the way back to the beginning of the constitution of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, our people found it necessary that we identify ourselves and that we do as the Scripture says, to be not conformed to this world, but be renewed, but to be renewed by our minds and to follow the things in which our Scriptures we believe the Scriptures to teach us to do. And the first, in almost every article of faith that you read, the Scriptures are mentioned, or this article of faith is mentioned, that we believe in a three-in-one Godhead. We believe that yet not in three gods, but in one God, and that there's a trinity of persons in this Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I believe that every single member of the church should at least be able to show somebody in Scripture, if they were to ask you why you believe in those articles of faith, where in the Bible it says that we believe these. And so a lot of these things that we look at this morning may be elementary to a lot of you. But I think it's important for us to go through that we clearly show that the Scriptures teach that there's three persons in the Godhead. And that it's not one plus one plus one equals three. And there's not a bunch of gods that we believe in as this world would teach. I can remember as I look back on coming up that there would be times that people would reference a god of something. I remember, you know, a lot of you who grew up playing athletics and playing sports like I do can probably remember, you know, if something went wrong on your sports team that day, it was probably referenced that maybe the god of that sport is not shining down on you today. I can remember, you know, when you strike out every time that you've been up at the plate that day, that, you know, somebody would kind of make an off comment to you that maybe the baseball gods are not shining down on you today. And, you know, I've often found it to be maybe a conflict of interest to try to blame God for any time that you have a bad day. I think that we ought to look at ourselves as opposed to looking at God. But I think even making a comment like that is heretical, is heresy. Because the Scriptures plainly teach us that there is one God. And not only that, the verse that I just read to you, the first verse says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And he says that whenever thou enterest into the land, that you'll put these words, and that you'll remember these words, and that you'll put them on thy gates and upon thy posts, that you'll speak of them in your circles, that you'll speak of them in your family, that they'll be on your mind whenever you lay down, that they'll be upon your mind whenever you rise up. The things of God are supposed to continue upon our mind. If there's ever been a time in the history of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ for the people of God to be established in the foundations, it's now. And our foundations lie in our articles of faith. They say this is what we believe. This is what we believe the Scriptures to teach. This is what we believe differentiates us from the other religious orders of this world. And the first of which is we believe that there is a trinity of persons in the Godhead. the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And yet these are not three gods, but one God. Let's go all the way back this morning to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and look all the way back at the beginning and look at what the Lord said about there being more than one in the Godhead and who is in the Godhead. As is the case anytime, I always encourage people. A lot of people will come to me and say, I think I've got a burden to read the Bible. Where do you think I should start? I had that conversation with a dear family member of mine a couple of years ago after a loss of a close family member of ours. And he felt like that those who were more established in the Scriptures handled that situation with more comfort and peace than he did. And he said, I think I need to read the Bible more. He said, where do you think I need to start? I said, I think you need to start where the Lord started. You need to start all the way back at the beginning and start where the Lord started His Word. Because if you don't understand that in the beginning God, you'll never understand anything that the Apostle Paul wrote, anything about the Lord Jesus Christ and His ministry. You've got to start at the beginning. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. It says clearly that God is the founder of our creation. Before Him there was no up. He is the beginning of all things and He created the world. But look who it says created it with Him. If we go down to verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, it says that God was not there alone. If we go over to the book of John chapter 1, it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But what do we read about the persons of the Godhead here? He says in verse 26, after, of course, several things have already been created, it says in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. What does us do to the term of the Godhead? It makes it plural, does it not? It makes it more than one. Of course, it doesn't mean that Jesus was created before this, and that He's just now mentioning Him because He was part of the creation in the first 25 verses. No! He says to His Son, let us make man in our own image. And I tell you, I love the rest of this verse of Scripture because it plainly teaches that God set man above the rest of His creation. It says, after our likeness, He says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That means that sets man above all of the rest of creation. You want to make an environmentalist mad these days? You tell them that you believe that God put the water here for man as opposed to putting man here to tend to the water. That'll make them upset. You tell them that God put the beast of the field here for man to have to eat, to have food upon his table, as opposed to putting man here to take care of those things. If you change the order of that, you can find out somebody's religion right quick. You can find out whether or not they worship the creation or whether or not they worship the creator. Because if they worship the creator, they're able to recognize that God gave these things as a gift unto us. And you say, Brother Will, does that mean that you would encourage pollution and things like that? No, I encourage us to look after that God gave us. But let us do it with the mindset of knowing that God gave it to us and gave mankind as being the dominion, as being over all these things. That means kill your deer, butcher your cows, eat them, it's okay. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 says that all these things that God gave them to us to partake of, and that we're supposed to receive it with thanksgiving, and it's okay. You know, a lot of people worship the creation more than the creator. God gave us and He set us a dominion over these things. But what does it say? It says, let us. He's speaking to His Son. He says, let us make man in our own image. That he would be after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Let them have dominion over these things. Let us do these things. He's speaking to a being that is already in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been in heaven ever since the foundation of the world. He came down from heaven. He didn't become Jesus when He ascended back up. He's been Jesus since the foundation of the world. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of my Father which has sent me, is what He said. And if we believe what the Lord Jesus Christ said, we believe that He was there and He came down. And that He reduced Himself to the heartbeat in a mother's womb. You know, one of the worst heresies that ever exist in this world is that the Lord Jesus Christ was fathered by a Roman soldier. And that somehow that He was not Jesus until after He had lived a perfect life and had offered a perfect sacrifice and had ascended to seat on the right hand of God. No, no, no. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been in heaven ever since before the foundation of the world. He was there with God whenever God created this world that you and I know. He was there with God before the foundation of the world to make a covenant with God the Father and God the Son. A covenant that secured our home in heaven. He was our representative before the foundation of the world. He was the one that stood there and said, "I'll die for them. I'll represent them on the cross. I'll represent them in the grave. And I'll represent them at the resurrection. They are mine." And I tell you, you wonder why a lot of people would say, "Why do you think it's so important for us to be such sticklers on these verses of Scripture? Look at how far you could go if you're willing to let somebody tell you that somehow Jesus or the Holy Spirit is not God Almighty Himself." That is exactly who He is. You know, we'll go here to in a minute to three different places in the Gospel according to John. Well, the Scriptures plainly say that Jesus stood in the midst of those Pharisees and declared Himself to be one with the Father. And I'm not prepared, or do I think it would be beneficial for us to call our Savior a liar? Are you? I think it's more uplifting and encouraging and glorifying to our Father which is in heaven for us to declare Him as being the God of truth, which He was. Go with me to one more point to make the point here in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 11. Well, we read again the statement, "Let us." We read the statement again, "Let us." It's concerning the construction of the Tower of Babel. Babel. Is it Babel or Babel? I think you know what I mean whenever I say either or. But we, of course, are familiar with this verse. We know that there was inhabitants of a land that sought that they were going to build a temple to extend all the way into heaven. And we read here that the Lord saw this effort and He was not pleased with it. He saw what these men were doing and He was not pleased with it. You have to go to the dream of Jacob if you want to find out about if you want to envision something that has been constructed to get to heaven. You've got to go to the dream of Jacob that mentions a ladder, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He's the only way. There's no way that you and I can do anything. There's no way that mankind can do something in order to be able to get to go to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. A lot of somebody who disagreed with the doctrine of the free salvation of God and free and sovereign salvation of God told me that the Scripture says that Jesus is the way. Amen and amen. But it doesn't say that belief in Him is the way. It says that He is the way. And through His blood, it is the only way that any child of grace, any child of wrath will ever reach heaven. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here you've got a group of people, they may have been well-meaning. It says that they want to extend and build something that it stretches into the heaven. We read in verse 1, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one. They have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do.'" He says, "Go to, let us go down." Let us go down. It's plural. He's speaking to His Son. He says, "Let us go down." Yes, He's telling, it's clearly showing that there's more than one there. Let us go down. And what did they go down and do? "And there confound their language, and they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off the build of the city." He says, "Let us go down and confound their language." Do you know that communication is a gift from God? Being able to communicate effectively is a gift from God that He can destroy at the snap of a finger. He clearly shows us here that He can destroy it amongst a society. He can destroy it in a home between a husband and a wife. He can destroy it in a church between a pastor and his flock. If he sees fit and he's not pleased with something that's going on, the Lord can cut off the means of communication because those who are communicating are not doing it to His pleasure and to His liking. That's what that's clearly teaching us. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a miracle given from God, and He can cut off that miracle and cut off the blessings thereby where we receive gifts of the preached word of God by just creating Babel. creating Bible. You ever taken for granted your position in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the privilege to come and to sit and listen to the preached word? And have you ever come and a man preached the gospel and you just felt like there was nothing in it that day? But yet you heard other people make the comments, boy, I sure was fed by that message today. I sure enjoyed it. And you have to think to yourself, well, they heard the same thing I heard. What is it? The Lord cut off the blessings of being able to effectively communicate the comforting word of the gospel. He cut off that. But the Lord said, let us go down. The Lord has said from the beginning, He was at creation. He was not created. He was there. We believe that. We believe that there is only one true and living God, and that there is a trinity of persons in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. These three are not yet three gods, but one God. You know, if we remember over in the New Testament, and if you have a different version of Bible this morning, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Go with me over there before we go to the gospel according to John, in John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. The scripture reads, for there are three that bear record in heaven. To bear record means that they are witnesses in heaven. The scriptures teach us that in the mouth of two or three witnesses to let every word be established. The Lord never established and encouraged us to follow something that He hasn't already followed. And so whenever we read in Matthew chapter 18 that it's good in the time that we have a disagreement with a brother or sister in the church to take one or two with you, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established, we read that and you say, why have I got to take somebody with me so every word may be established? What does the Lord do concerning His creation and concerning His covenant before the foundation of the world? He has two witnesses there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They were witnesses one to another. For there are three that bear record in heaven. They are witnesses in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You know that the modern versions of the Bible clearly say, and they speak in this, for there are three that are in agreement, is what the verse says. They're in agreement. You know there's a difference between somebody being one and somebody being in agreement? There's several of you brethren in this church that I'm in agreement with on a lot of things. I thought I agreed with Brother Scott Taylor with about everything until he was eating over at my house one night and told me he didn't eat cooked fruit. And I tell you what, it destroyed me. It crumbled me. I said, brother, we've had so much in common. I can't believe that you don't eat cooked fruit. I said, you know, even before he told me he didn't, I said, I think I'll mark a man for fellowship that doesn't eat cooked fruit. And he said, whoa. And, you know, I said it jokingly because how much I love cooked fruit. But I tell you, we're in agreement in a lot of things. The Lord can bless the people of God to be in agreement in a lot of things, but that does not cover everything that this verse needs to say. He says that they are one. They are witnesses in heaven. There are three that are witnesses in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is the living Word, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're one. The Lord has said that this is my way. I tell you, I don't struggle with that this morning. It's hard to wrap your mind around that there's a trinity of persons in the Godhead. But believe it, because God's Word confirms it. It says these three bear record. They're witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Let's go to the Lord's ministry and look in John chapter 5. We're going to look in three places. And John chapter 5, John chapter 10, and John chapter 14. Because in case you're wondering if the Lord preached that your pastor's preaching this morning, understand that Jesus Christ said the same thing. It drove the Pharisees right up the wall. They couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand it, what Jesus said about Himself. It says in John chapter 5 in verses 17 and 18, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. It says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath. Now when you read that Jesus broke the Sabbath, that does not mean that He violated the perfect law of God. That means He violated the Pharisees' interpretation of the Sabbath. You know, a lot of people read through and they read where Jesus did certain things that drove the Pharisees crazy and that they made these accusations against Him that He was violating the law of God. Our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, never broke the law of His Father which is in heaven. He never not once did it. If he did, then there was not a perfect sacrifice that was made on the cross at Calvary, and you and I are yet in our sins as we gather here today. Our Lord, he violated their interpretation of it. And there's a big difference between that which Moses gave and that which the Pharisees were upholding by this point in time. It was perverted. As Elder Harold Hunt told me one time, he doesn't even like to use the term Judeo-Christian, because Judaism, as it was during this day and age, was far from being that which God gave Moses in the mount, in which the people of God were supposed to follow. But we read here that because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Does it just say they were in agreement? Or does it say that he was equal with him? It says he was his equal. It says that he was the same. The Lord Jesus Christ was 100% man. He was 100% God. He made himself equal with God. And it drove them crazy. Who can forgive sins but God only, is what they said to him whenever he lifted the sins off of that man and he blessed him to be able to rise and walk. He says, who can heal sins but God only? They didn't recognize him for who he was. And I tell you, child of grace today, there was chastening from the almighty hand of God and chastisement that came upon those people because they didn't recognize the Son for who he was. Child of grace today, you and I are supposed to recognize the Son for who he was. Not only as being equal with God, but being the Savior of his people. The one that brought salvation to every single one that the Lord sent him to the cross to die for bringing it to him. Do we recognize him for who he is? And I tell you, child of grace today, you need to recognize that the Lord gave his life on the cross at Calvary forever. Blood-bought child that God the Father sent him to die for. He said, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all that the Father gives me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Do you know that a child can understand that? You know, as we got at our home, in our Bible study in our home, we got to John chapter 6. And I thought to myself, this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough. Because even the people who the Lord spoke to that day, who I believe some of them were his children, they said, these be a hard saying. Who can understand it? And I thought, as we go through this, this is going to be confusing to the minds of my little children sitting there. But you know, by the time we got done, that I could effectively ask each and every one of mine, did the Lord save everyone that he died for? Are they all going to be in heaven? And every single one of them can answer right. The truth, according to Scripture, sometimes, it's the heresies of this world that cloud our mind. If we'll just stick with the truth according to the way that the Lord gave it, it's clearly taught and it's comforting. And it's assuring unto us and it's glorifying to our Father which is in heaven. That's who Jesus is. Do we recognize him for who he is? Or are we like these Pharisees that we become enraged whenever we hear something that the Lord has done and not want to recognize him for who he is? Let's go to John chapter 10. Again, a comforting place in Scripture concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his sheep. He says in verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let me encourage you to know, as we read through this morning, that this is not saying that they follow the gospel, or they follow the preacher, or they follow the church. It says they follow me. And every child, every sheep of the heavenly shepherd in heaven follows when our Lord speaks into their heart. There's not one of them that rejects. There's not one of them that can reject his almighty power to bring them into that submission. They may reject the things that I try to tell them to do. They may reject the things that their mama and daddies try to tell them to do, but not what the Lord tells them to do. They're his sheep. They're his. It says, and I know them, which means an intimate knowledge. It means he loves them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Have I established it yet? I hope so, but I still got one more place I want to go to, because the Scripture says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Jesus says, I am God. I am God. And our people years ago said that we've got to make sure that people know that we identify our Savior as being one with God. We're not going to let anybody declare that he was fathered by a Roman soldier. We're going to declare that he was fathered by his Father on high. And he was. It says, I and my Father are one. You believe not because you are not my sheep. He says, you're not mine. You ever wondered why some people may not believe in Jesus? It's because they're not his sheep. And you and I are not being brought into this world to make sheep. We've been brought into this world to be obedient sheep and to lead and guide the Lord's sheep, not to ever make one. Because that's His job and His role. And that's something that He has declared that He will take care of. Go with me to John chapter 14. And this will be the last place that we go. The reason why it's a good place to stop is because not only here is it mentioned about God the Father and God the Son being present, but He also a few verses down mentions the third one. The Comforter. The Holy Spirit. The Comforter. I tell you, I'm so thankful for that definition of the Spirit. The Comforter. He says, I won't be able to be with you, but I'll send my Comforter to be with you. You know, let's start in verse 5 of John chapter 14. Where the Lord, of course, has told them about the place where He's going. He's going to heaven. And He says, the place where I'm going, you cannot go now. He says, but I'll come again, that where I am, there you may be also. And we see in verse 5 that Thomas saith unto Him, We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I've mentioned that verse a little earlier today. Notice it doesn't say by belief in me. It says by me. No man can come unto the Father except the Lord draw him up. And He says, but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Listen to what Philip says. Philip saith unto him, Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. You think that the disciples dwelled in perfect knowledge? No, they didn't. They had a whole lot more knowledge when the Lord breathed His presence to them on the day of Pentecost. But at this stage, they're still babes in Christ, learning from Jesus. He says, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, shew us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. You know, there's as you try to go through this to show plainly the foundational principle behind the articles of faith, there's a whole lot more preaching to be done. But what is He saying here? He's saying, I am one with the Father. He says, you've been all this time with me, and yet you don't believe this. You don't, Philip, you don't know this. You've been all this time with me. Go with me down a little further where He says that, verse 16, that He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. See, Jesus is their Comforter now. The reason why they're even asking these questions is because the Lord has told them that He's fixing to leave them. That He's fixing to be gone from their presence. And they've drawn so close to Him as Him being the person with them that is their Comforter. He says that whenever He leaves, that He's going to send another Comforter unto Him. And it's the Spirit of truth. It's His presence. He's just as much God as He was when He walked with them in the flesh, in the human flesh. But He's there in the presence of the Spirit. And He says, I'm sending Him unto you. He calls Him a Comforter. You know, it was so that these ones would understand that just because the man, Jesus Christ, was not going to be in their presence anymore, but another person of the Godhead was going to be there with them. He was going to be the one there with them. And He's called the Comforter. He says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I tell you, our Scriptures plainly affirm the article of faith, the first one, that is on our wall out there. May the Lord bless us to never think that it's not important for us to understand why we believe what we believe. It doesn't mean that we don't love people that don't believe it. It doesn't mean that the Lord has called us to be ugly to anybody who doesn't believe it. But it means that we are to believe it and to understand why we believe it. We believe that which Jesus spoke. He said, I am one with the Father. He taught this unto His disciples. It's important for us to understand so that we can understand who the Creator is. that He was there from the foundation of the world, that He was there when the everlasting covenant was made. Although my house be not so with God, is what David said, yet the Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. You know, something that's everlasting means that somebody had to be there from everlasting. Were you and I there in person before the foundation of the world? No, but we had a representative who was. Jesus Christ, our representative, was. He was there in the person of the Godhead, and every one that God the Father gave Him to die for. The Spirit of the living God comes sometime between the time that they are conceived and the time that they take their last breath, and He enters the heart of that child of God and gives them and makes them a new creature, borns them again, regenerates them. Whatever terminology you want to use that Scripture uses, it uses regenerating, being born from above, being born again, being a new creature. It speaks of it in several different terminologies, but all of it is the Holy Spirit dwelling within the heart of a child of grace. He says, we believe in only one true and living God, and that there is a trinity of persons in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and yet not three gods, but one God. May the Lord bless you to be able to dwell upon these things, that we can do as Moses told his people in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that we would speak upon these things whenever we rise, whenever we lay our heads down, that we would speak upon them amongst our families, that we would be willing to put them upon the post of our houses and upon the gates of our houses. May the Lord richly bless you. It's my prayer. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Praise God from the room.